today. We are going to get to some of the armor of God, but I'm not going to get through all of it because there's just too much there to cram into one message and get it going real fast, and I don't want to miss out on any. I'm not going to get to it all. I'm kind of saving the last two, the helmet and the sword, for the next time I get a chance to preach. So that's where we're going to today. Outfitting for battle, right? We had a lot of good presence of the Spirit here this morning, huh? That last song wasn't planned. It was just kind of spontaneous, and sometimes the Lord's moving and things are just too good to stop, aren't they? We can't be on a time frame of, oh, this is our last song and we're done, because God was moving, and that was a beautiful time in His presence. Amen. God spoke. We heard prophecy and words, and it was very good. I enjoyed it. And that's what we want to be. We want to be free. We don't want to be so rigid and so locked in that we can't move and we can't flow with what the Word is saying, what God is saying. And that's where we want to be. So I'm going to lay some more groundwork here and preach on the armor of God today. We're not engaged in a little battle, right? I said that last week. Is there anyone here who wasn't here last week that's here to this week? A couple? All right. I'm going to just recap just a little bit. But we are in the battle. It's not just a little battle. And it's not for the faint of heart, is it? Not for the timid or the squeamish. They need not apply, because we are in an all-out, dangerous, hard-fought-to-the-death battle. Gives no quarter, gives no yield, gives no territory, doesn't pull any punches. It's a winner-take-all, winner-lose battle, right? You're either fighting in that battle or you're sitting on the sidelines watching it. I said last week that if God says, if you're not for me, you're against me. So we need to be in that battle and we need to be for him, right? In the words of, this kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Duluthians because of our weather, because no matter what, when we go out in the middle of the summer, we usually always have a jacket or a sweatshirt with, right? Because we never know what the weather's going to be. But when I'm going on a trip or when I'm planning to go somewhere, you check the weather, don't you? Mom and Dad are in Florida right now, enjoying some sun. And I guarantee that they didn't pack their Carhartts and their winter hat and their boots and bring it on down there with them. It just didn't make sense. It wouldn't be appropriate for the conditions, right? Vice versa, if you went to a wedding, you wouldn't show up in your pajamas or your sleeping shorts or something like that. It just wouldn't make sense. I wouldn't come to church in a tuxedo, which maybe you could, but it'd be a little bit weird. I'm a firefighter. I'm not going to wear my fire gear and a helmet and all that to come to church, because I would have made the wrong choice. I would have chosen wrongly, and it's not appropriate for the conditions. But for Christians, we need to know what to wear to war, right? Not a little skirmish. It's not a little practice round. It's not just a little, okay, we're going to do this, and you're going to... No, it's a big battle. It's not a game of flag football or even two-hand touch football. This is a full contact, full-on out battle, right? And just like combat, if we go into it unprepared, we're going to be destroyed. If I show up to a football game thinking it's a no tackle or a flag football or two-hand touch, and I come to the NFL without any armor or without any padding, I'm going to be in a bad place, right? So we need to, as Christians, be prepared for that battle. And that's where I'm at. I'm laying some groundwork, and I want us to be prepared. Or else we're going to lose. And with losing comes death. The race is not to the swift, and the battle's not to the strong, right? Scripture tells us that. But it is to whom who can endure to the end. I got a verse in Matthew there, Rocky, if you could put that up. 24 and 13. Tells us right in a word, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. To him who can stand, him who can endure, he will be saved. So we need to know our enemy a little bit, right? Satan's a crafty bugger. He's going to use any tool at his disposal, fair, unfair, dirty, rotten, whatever he can do to trip you up. He's going to use everything in his arsenal, and he's not going to pull any punches. See, everything that happens in the physical world to us here has a spiritual effect, doesn't it? Everything that happens in this spiritual world, I say we're fighting a spiritual battle, or we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but everything that happens in this world affects you spiritually if we let it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the forces of darkness, against Satan and the powers of hell. And Satan does not intend to wound you. He doesn't look to just take you out of the battle or cause a little injury that'll send you to the... Satan intends to kill you. He intends to pull you out from under God, and he intends to take you out. Don't bring a knife to a gunfight, right? We've all heard that adage. Don't bring a knife to a gunfight. It brings to my mind that little meme that you see of the monkey. I put one up there. I'm playing memes in church, but fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, and brother, it's starting to rain. That's not it. Should be close there somewhere. Is there a picture of a monkey up there? Oh, man. Fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp to the ark, and brother, it's starting to rain, because that's the type of fight we're in. We need to have that battle, because Satan is not playing with us. And those that were here last week and so far are probably saying, okay, you got it, Corey. You made your point. Move on. You got it. Well, you're in a battle. But I want you to know, and I'm spending the time there, so that we get it and we get it into our head that we are in a life and death battle. He means to kill you. He means to destroy you because you represent what he used to be, right? You represent what Satan, he used to be a child of God, used to be. And he was cast out. So Satan means to destroy you because you represent what he will never become. But now, I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm a child of God, and Satan's going to do anything he can to prevent that from happening. So if we're going to battle, we need to know what to wear. We need to recognize who our enemy is and what he's going to do and the steps that he's going to take, because it is that life and death battle. I'm going to beat that one to death because I want it to get in your head. We need to reckon, oh, there's the monkey. I knew I'd get a little laugh out of it. We're in a serious battle, and we need to gather every weapon, every bit of armor that we can, because when we're fighting, it's life or death. We need to recognize, all right, you can change it. You don't have to leave it up there. We need to recognize that Satan has power, right? Church, agree with me? Satan has power. Satan does not have authority, right? Everybody with me? He's got power, but he doesn't have authority. He's got the power to get things done, but he doesn't have the ability to get things done whenever he feels like it. He can only go so far. He fights, but under Christ, he does not have authority. He's got plenty of power. We've seen it, but he doesn't have the authority. Satan has the power to get at us if we get out from under authority. Make sense? Everybody agree with me? If we're under God's authority, if we're under God's protection, Satan can't get us. But if we get out from that authority and separate from it, Satan has the power to get at us, right? So the only way Satan can get you to defeat you, he's got to lure you out. He's got to pull you out from that authority. He's got to pull you out from that safety, from that covering that God has for us. Under God's authority, he needs to pull us out from outside of that, and then he's going to get at us, right? Because as long as you're under God's authority, he's got the power, but he doesn't have that authority to destroy you. You don't have to take my word, right? I love reading the Bible. I love getting to it. And even books like Job, last time I just read it, and I said, that's kind of a tough book. It's a hard one, but it's a good word there. My Bible readers know that, right? Job was perfect and upright, right? He was a good man. Everybody agrees with that. And the Bible says he sacrificed every day. He sacrificed for his children, even when they weren't with him. And Job was an upright man. And then one day, God and his sons are there, and Satan shows up, and there he is. God says, Satan, what are you doing here? What are you doing, Satan? What'd he tell him? I have been roaming the earth looking for someone that I can devour. I've been roaming the earth to and fro looking for someone that I can tear up, someone that I can get to. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Corey? Have you considered them? And Satan, I thought about it. He was on my list. I was thinking about it. But you have a fence around him. You have a hedge around him. And he's protected. He's under your authority. Satan says, if you let me get to him, I will make him curse you to your face. That's what Satan thinks, right? God told Satan, go for it. You can have it. You can get at his body, but you can't touch his soul. Go ahead and tempt him. You can tempt him. I'm going to let you. Because God's going to let Satan do some things, right? Anybody ever been tried? Everybody been in a hard spot? Satan's gone so far and he's pushed. But when Satan goes too far, when he goes beyond what God has allowed, God says, okay, time, I'll hold it right there. I said you can get at his body, but you can't have his soul. You can't get at his soul. Hold it right there. You can't touch this. He belongs to me. He's mine. I'll let you try him. I'll let you tempt him. Manipulate him, stimulate him, motivate him, do whatever you can. Job went through some stuff, didn't he? He went through a lot of stuff. But God said, I will not let you destroy him. Anybody been through some stuff? Tempted and tried? I know I've been kind of mad sometimes, wondering, God, why? Why? But I'm still here standing, right? I'm still here standing with the Lord because I belong. I'm a child. And if anybody asks you, I am a child of God. I'm a daughter of God. I belong to him. So, what do we got to do? We got to be strong, right? Strong in my education. Strong in my own power. Corey likes to try to get things done on his own a lot of times. Strong on your good looks, beauty. How about your bank account? What do we need to be strong in? Strong in the Lord. That's the only place our hope is. That's the only way we're going to succeed. That's the only way we're going to find protection. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Not know the Lord and be strong in your might. Not know about the Lord, but and be strong in what you can get. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I got a lot of verses in here today. When I start putting stuff together and I'm writing notes, I don't realize it's a whole lot until I start putting them into the computer and the list is gets pretty long and I'm like, oh, that's a lot of verse. Bear with me because I'm going with them today, right? The word is the word and you can't change the word. Strength of his might. So God can only protect us if we stay in his precinct, if we stay in the environment that God has for us, or that God's planned for us, right? I cannot get strength hanging out with people that don't know God or that don't abide by, that don't love God. I'll make a confession. I was in the bar last night or this morning at 2 in the morning. I was. Preface that, I work for the fire department, and I was there for work, and I was there to pick a guy up that fell off his bar stool and cracked his head open and was bleeding all over. So I was there in a fire truck and with an ambulance. But as I walked through the door to go in there, there was as many people as here as there, and there, and it's like 1:50 at night, so or in the morning, so it's almost closing time, and they'd been there a long time. And I walked in, I'm like, oh, Lord. I don't belong here, and in work environment it's different, but I'm looking at these people, and they're all the most intelligent, genius people in the world, and they're all blah, 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 and all that. And I just said, thank you, Lord, that I do not hang out here, because holy buckets, these people are lost, and they need some Jesus. You're not going to get strength hanging out in a bar. You're not going to get strength hanging out with people that don't love the Lord. You need to be with some people that are talking spiritual talk, that are talking about the love of what he has. That's where we're going to get some strength, right? Get some people that know how to, with some people that know how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, hang out with some people that know how to pray. You're going to learn how to pray. Young ladies, find an old lady, older lady that knows how to pray and grab some of what they got. Same thing with older guys. Find some young man and tell them. Mentor them, coach them. We need to be with people that are going to bring us higher, not take us down. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Too many people that go to church are not strong in the Lord. They go to church and they check the box and they say, I've been and I go and I know, and I, but they are not strong in the Lord. That's a big crowd. The world's pretty self-centered, ain't it? I'm busy, I got stuff to do, I don't have time for that. We need to get a backbone. We need to grow some strength in the Lord. Some strength to fight another day. Because if I come across a battle, spiritual battle, and I get wore out because of my battle yesterday, and I'm already wore out, how am I going to face the battle that comes tomorrow or the battle that comes next month or next year? I need to have strength. I need to have endurance. I need to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Prophet says, if you run with the footmen and you grow weary, how are you going to contend with horses, right? Jeremiah 12 and 5. If you run with footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? For if you fall down in a land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? If you can't get through the ordinary day when things are good, how are you going to get through the times of struggle and through the hard times of trial? And we need to be strong and lean on that power of his might. We get strong with the Lord. We're able to stand against the devil, right? The schemes of the devil is roaming around, the craftiness of the devil. When we got some strength, we're able to stand against that. Kind of get the picture of the devil with the old red suit and a tail and the horns and the pitchfork out of your mind, because the devil sometimes is just sitting right next to you at work. The devil's right next to you. The devil is sneaky and he's a crafty guy. He's after you. Be strong in the Lord, because there's a whole lot of other folks you can't trust. I've got a few verses I'm going to read, and I'm going to read them fast, but we know them and they're good. Psalms 121, 1 and 8, 1 through 8. I will lift my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps you, Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Every one of those needs to be ingrained in our head. He will protect you from evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Amen. 27, 1 through 5. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? We don't have to be afraid when we're under that authority, when we're under that protection. When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and they fell. Though a host enemy camps against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rises against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek. We sing that song, right? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, He shall, are we on the right scripture up there? He will hide me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait on the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Do not fret because of evildoers. Next verse, next scripture. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. It's one thing to know God. It's a whole other thing to delight yourself in the Lord, right? When you know him more and more and more, and you're delighted at the time you spend, or you're delighted when he... And he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light. Amen. As I was putting these scriptures together, I was thinking, we got the little slides that run of the announcement. I think I'm just going to throw up a bunch of verses and make this huge loop of nothing but verses, and every time you guys look at it, boom, another verse, and another verse, and another, and just ingrain that in, because there's words of life there, words of wisdom, direction, guidance. That's just a few. You could go on and on. The Lord is good, right? If we put our trust in him. So if we're going to go do battle, we need to know how to get dressed, right? I'm getting closer. I'm getting there. I've got a slide up. I'm getting there. I'm going to talk about the outfit and the wardrobe that we need to have in our spiritual arsenal if you're going to do spiritual warfare, right? People going to church years ago used to look like you could tell they were going to church. Not, times are different now a little bit, but even you go to Perkins after church now and you can sit there and say, yep, they came from church, they came from church, they came from church. And maybe there's some other ones that didn't come from church, but you'll see the family with the suit and the tie and they're like, yep, church, church, maybe, I don't know. You need to know how to dress, right? We need to put some stuff off, take some stuff off before we put some stuff on, right? So I said we're getting there, but first we need to put some stuff off, right? Get rid of some stuff. Crucify the worldly flesh. Oh, that's some big words that sound tough, right? Crucify the flesh. Crucify arrogance. Crucify my Corey's ambitions and Corey's desires and Corey's plans and what I want. You need to put that aside and surrender to God and then let him take control. I can't come to God and say, okay, I got a couple hours on Tuesday. Do with it what you want. Crucify the worldly flesh. Put it aside. We're saved by grace, right? Through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saved by grace, through faith, not of my works. No matter what I do, I can't work my way into heaven. So some people kind of roll their eyes. We're talking spiritual battles and spiritual weapons, and to the uneducated Christian or to the they kind of roll their eyes. You really think there's evil, good and evil fighting? You really think? And I guarantee you, there are spiritual battles that go on every day, all over. The devil is after the believer. He's after, and he's looking to destroy. Some people just don't understand that, and they're looking, hey, you're crazy. You got the snakes and the vapors at the church, right? I hear that one a lot. Snakes and the vapors. Do the snakes come out? The devil's the snake. He's the deceiver. We need to surrender to God. But I will say that. Look at the world today. Look what's going on around us. The shootings and all the massive drug problem and there is evil all over the world. You can't tell me there isn't spiritual battles, forces of good and evil that are taking place right now in the world. You look at the atrocities that happen overseas and in Ukraine, and there's battles going on. So if we're going to be protected, we need to be dressed right, right? I'm getting there. First piece of clothing we need to put on is the belt of truth. We need to girdle ourselves. I got the verses here because I don't know that I've read them yet. I'm going to read them quick. Ephesians 6, starting in 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. You'll be able to resist in the evil day that we're in. And having done everything you can do, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girdled your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, by which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Whew. I'm going to get through all of them, but not today. Gird your loins with a girdle. Sounds a little weird, don't it? Put on a girdle. The belt of truth. A warrior's belt was kind of vital to their survival, right? Keeps things in place. I couldn't imagine going through life without a belt on because I got one on every day. Keeps my pants up. But for that, putting on the armor, it's a place to keep your sword, right? It's somewhere to keep your weapon. In those days, they had the big baggy clothes, and they had what you'd call a tunic. And when I put that on, it's just loose over me. And that belt goes around that, and it keeps it in place. Keeps it out of my way so that I can do battle. Keeps your movement so that you can move. And the soldier that's girded with a belt, they're better able to fight. A girdle. It says, gird your loins. A girdle. What does a girdle do? Holds some things together, doesn't it? Puts things in place and keeps them there. That's its main purpose. We need to girdle ourselves with the truth. Sometimes we don't have it all together. Sometimes we're a hot mess. And we need to gather that in. We need to girdle that in, rein it in, and we need to keep it in place with truth, right? You got to pull some stuff together. That way the devil can't get at it. Ethan. Downstairs. You have to put on the belt of truth. To put on the belt of truth, we got to know what the belt is, right? Or what truth is. Do we know what truth is? 2,000 years ago, Pilate asked, what's the truth? John 18:37, starting there. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. So if we're going to talk about truth, we need to know what it is, right? If you ask a psychologist or a psychologist, what's the other one I'm thinking of? Psychiatrist, yeah, there you go. If you ask them what the truth is, what are they going to tell you? The truth is what you think it is, right? How many times have you heard that? Oh, whatever makes you feel good is the truth. Be true to yourself. That's you got to be true to your. That's not the truth. That is not the. Jesus is the truth. Whatever you feel, whatever makes you happy. How about to an accountant when it comes to tax time, and the numbers are a little bit off? So all of a sudden we do some change. That's truth, right? Because we need it to be this. So we're gonna the truth to an accountant something different. How about to a lawyer, shady lawyer? Truth is whatever they want it to be, right? The truth can mean a whole lot of different things to different people. But the real truth is Jesus Christ, right? If you want to know what the real truth is, look into the eyes of Jesus Christ. That is the real truth. And what did he say? He himself said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus isn't part of the truth. He's not a little chunk of the truth, or he's not something you add Jesus to make it a little more true. He is the truth. That's all there is to it. He is the truth. That's good news. The Roman soldier put on the belt and the girl, right? Because it would pull all those things together, keep things in place. You ever see some of these young guys nowadays walk around with their pants down to here? And they constantly got one hand on them because they got to hold them up and they're going through life trying to... To my brain, that means a whole lot. For one, I look at it and think, why? But it reminds me of Christians that aren't girded, that aren't following, that aren't... And I'm going through life trying to keep my pants up because I can't put on a belt. Pull your pants up, put a belt on, and be a man and walk through life girded in truth. Don't go through life half prepared or half, because you don't have to. Every time I see that, I'm like, oh, he needs some Jesus. And that's not because the button his underwear are hanging out, because he's going through life unready. Simple belt would take care of that problem. Belt of truth's going to go a whole lot further. Put on a belt of truth. I think that's about all I wrote down there. I don't know. After telling us to put on the belt of truth, what does Paul tell us? Or what's he say? Put on the blessed breastplate of righteousness, right? What's righteousness? We needed to know what the truth was, or we talked about the truth. What's righteousness? You Google it. Got different meanings or different things, but it's a couple that I wrote down. Acting according with divine or moral law. Free from guilt or sin. That's righteousness. Free from guilt or sin. Living in a right relationship with God. That's a Google definition of righteousness. Living in a right relationship with God. That's where we need to be. Anybody want to be there? I want to be in a right relationship with God. I don't want to be going through life half done, half ready, half protected. I want to be right with God. Do we know anybody who wears a breastplate nowadays? I can't say that I've ever seen anybody wear a breastplate. So in my brain, I change things a little bit that make a little more sense to me. I'm not changing the word, but what else is like a breastplate? Bulletproof vest? Bulletproof vest. Think of our cops. Every shift where they go to work, they put this on to protect themselves, right? Anybody know anybody that wears a bulletproof vest? I do. Lots of people. And it protects what? The vital organs, what I need, my heart, my lungs, protects your vital organs. The heart's important, isn't it? We can't just let that run out unprotected and be unguarded. Proverbs says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Commercial plug here. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, I preached a message on guarding your heart. It can be found on our website under sermons. So if you want to hear a message about guarding your heart, that whole message is about guarding your heart, because it's important, because that is a lot of who we are. From it flows the springs of life. So we need to be protected, right? What's it mean to be protected by righteousness? Put on the breastplate of righteousness so that we can be protected. Why do I need righteousness to protect me? Can I be righteous on my own efforts? No. Can Corey be righteous? Can Corey do good enough to do that? The Bible's pretty resounding on that. It's a hard, solid no. God's word makes that plain and clear. There's no questions. There's no doubt about it. It's just plain Romans. Let's read it. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. Not even one. There's not one righteous. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. I don't want to be useless. That's terrible. There is none who does good. There is not even one. I can't be righteous on my own. Paul's referring to an Old Testament quote, and ever since Adam and Eve and the sin in the garden, and choosing to listen to Satan over what God said instead of trust in God. Every human being since on the earth has been guilty of sin, right? Still to this day, we're guilty of sin. We know we're sinful by nature. We're unholy by nature, ungodly by nature. The Bible says it again in Romans. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one. So whatever's done to change our condition, whatever's done to try to make us righteous, has to be done with an outside force, right? Has to be done with an outside power, because my ability, no matter how hard I try, I can't change it. Unlike a lot of religions in the world, if you pray enough, if you sacrifice enough, if you suffer enough, you can work your way in, right? A lot of religions believe that. Not us. None are. All have sinned and fallen short. But when Jesus died on the cross, whew, I didn't die on the cross. I can't. Jesus died on the cross, and he took all my sins onto him. Took all of your sins, all of our sin onto him. And in exchange for those who believe in him, those who trust in him, those who walk with him, they receive his righteousness. That's a good word. Imputed righteousness. He took his righteousness and he gave it to me. My mind has a hard time wrapping around all that. Sometimes it's hard to grasp and understand, or what all the works of redemption and all. It's hard to fathom sometimes, ain't it? That he would do that and die for me. But faith, through faith, I can understand. I can wrap my Corey brain around the fact that he died for me. The Bible tells us he became sin for me. He became sin for each and every one of us. And I can make it much more personal by saying, I have faith in him, right? I have faith in the Son of God, God who loved and gave himself for me. I believe I have faith, and that just makes it so much more personal. Ephesians 6 isn't the first mention of the breastplate of righteousness, is it? It's not a new thing. It's not the first time we heard about it. You go back, the word's written for instruction, right? Old and new. Go all the way back to Isaiah, written long before Jesus was ever born, long, long before he was ever born. And get a look into what God feels about sin, what it's doing to the world, and his answer for it. Isaiah 59:15, starting. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He, Christ, put on the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. Long before he was born, these words were pointing to what was going to happen. Long before he was even, it's testifying, it's pointing to Jesus is going to be the Savior of the world, right? He put it on. So now when I put on the breastplate, it's not just something I'm putting on. I'm putting on his breastplate of righteousness. I'm putting on his armor for me. And I put it on to guard my heart because it's important. It's vital. That's some good news right there, ain't it? So I didn't want to rush through these, and I do feel like I'm rushing through them. You could probably preach on each one for a long time. I'm putting on his breastplate of righteousness that he provided for me through his sacrifice. Amen. That's good news, right? That's some solid good news. All right, I did two of them. I'm going to do another one, right? Shoes of readiness and the shield of faith. They're separate, but they kind of go together. They're kind of tied together a little bit. Most Christians believe the world's getting pretty dark, right? And contrary to the beliefs of us Christians, we kind of wonder and we see how far it's gone and where it's like, where are we going to be in 10 years? If this is normal now, which was unbelievable back then, where are we going to be in another? The world's changing. The world's getting to be a dark place. Before going to heaven, Jesus rose, the risen Jesus. What did he do? He commissioned us to what? Go and make disciples, right? All the nations. Matthew 28:19 starting. We all know it. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Who loves witnessing and testifying? I know a lot of people do. There's a lot of people that don't. They're timid, they're shy, they're scared, they don't, I don't want to go bother, I'm not going to preach, I don't. We're a good testimony by our deeds and what we do and how we live, but a lot of people are afraid to witness about Jesus, aren't they? The word says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go out there and get out there and fight that fight. Get out there and do it. Don't be afraid to, do you know about Jesus? Have you ever, I'm a child of God. I'm wearing my armor. Stand boldly and go out there. Stand boldly and go. Some people, they don't care. They go to town. A lot of people are pretty scared of it. Satan can find ways to discourage you, right? Oh, you're not that. Who are you to go out and witness or testify? Who are you? God commanded us to go. It's a commandment. He said to go and do it. There's nothing that he's going to let happen to us by trying to testify or by the, he's going to protect us. He's going to be with us, and no matter what we do, Satan's going to try to take it. You're not, you haven't been a Christian long enough. You don't know what you're talking about. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. All you got to know is Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves me, and that's enough to go out and testify, that's enough to go out and witness and share that word. The weapons of our warfare are not of flesh and blood, but divine, powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive. Taking every thought into a captivity to the obedience of Christ. He said, go make disciples. We're taking every thought of doubt, every thought of, oh, I can't do, taken into captivity and obey what he says. Go out and make some disciples. So how do you put on the shoes of readiness? How do you be prepared? Comes through faith, right? Faith. The same faith that's described in Ephesians. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. Shield of faith. That you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Readiness was given to us by the gospel of peace, right? When you become a Christian, when you accept Christ, he brings a spiritual peace, right? Brings a spiritual understanding. I don't have to do anything in particular. I don't have to be a level one Christian, level two Christian to be authorized to, no. You have something to share. The moment you receive Christ, you become a witness for him. The moment you receive him, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have, Jesus has done something to you. He saved me. Go out and spread the good word. Tell him about it. One day you're saved by faith, and all of a sudden your sight, boom, changes. It becomes a whole new different sight, a whole new different picture. Because I can see the power of God working. I can see his authority. I can see his protection. I can see, go out and spread. The closer we come to Jesus, the more we pray, the more we read the Bible, the more we spend time, the stronger we're going to get. The stronger you're going to get, the less time you spend with him, the further you're going to draw away. The less you're going to hear his voice. So the secret to keeping our faith a shield up, close, spending time with Jesus, ain't it? Spending time in his word, spending time alone in prayer. I see the picture of the battle of the, when you got all the soldiers lined up and they got the shield, and you see the footage of the shield, and you see their feet, and they're holding against the enemy. And you hear, hold! And the enemy's coming at it. That's the picture I get when I think of this. And the devil comes and slams against those shields, but we're holding. And then eventually we push forward, and we take ground, and we take ground. And amen. That's my picture in my head. Stand strong in the Lord. Don't run away. Just stand strong. He's given you the weapons. Even when our faith is feeble, when we're not feeling super strong or we're not feeling the faith of a mustard seed, right? Just that little faith of a mustard seed allows us to open up our mouths, right? So that would be a prayer. If you're afraid to speak, God, give me this. Give me the words to say. Give me the to testify so that I can go out and I can obey what you're saying to make disciples. Go into all the nations. Faith of a mustard seed's all it takes. Mark 9:24, I got it in my scriptures here. Let's talk about the father and the child, but he says, help me with my unbelief, right? The father and child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief so that I can believe, I can be stronger, I can be stronger in faith. The stronger our faith becomes, the more vibrant our life or our walk with Christ becomes, right? The more I'm willing, the more I want to share the gospel. After a while, you're going to be running around wanting to share it with everybody. That's the way we should be. Not to be intimidated, not to be, oh, you're not worthy, you're not. Get out there. Do it. That shield's not just some little shield, is it? Not some little cardboard box like a kid or a hubcap or something. That's a shield, right? Surpasses anything Captain America ever had, right? Captain America's shield can be destroyed. It's been destroyed by other forces. It's supposedly a pretty good shield, but it's nothing when it comes to stand with the shield of faith. The Bible describes it so strong and indestructible, flaming darts from the evil one himself will fall as if they're falling into the ocean, and they can't get through it. Through our faith, we can fight off those attacks. They got no power whatsoever against our faith. Fame and death in Christ. I got to make sure I make the right, my faith in Christ, my belief in Christ. He lets me gain some ground. So we need to be belt truth on, right? I know the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus Christ. He is the way. He's the only truth. I'm putting on his breastplate of righteousness that he sacrificed himself for me. It's not just a bulletproof vest. It is his that he gave to me, that I could be righteous. That's that, like the mind blow. And we need to stand strong in him. said before that we can't fight this battle as a little weakling, or we can't just go into it half-hearted. We need to stand strong. We need to be bold. We need to be strong in His might. Strong in His might. So we got two left, right? Helmet of salvation. The sword, right? Those are some big ones. I knew I wouldn't have time to get through them all today, so that's where I'm going to call it good right there. And the next time I get to preach, I don't know when that is offhand, I'm going to continue on, but we can talk on those two forever and ever. We can talk on all of them forever and ever, but there's just way too much there to try to push all of them into one. So, we're striving after being fully equipped, right? Laying our foundation. We're seeking after more and more of Him. Holy Spirit, we want You. We invite You. And that's my cry or my prayer or my desire for the church, is just that we would draw more and more fully equipped and closer to Him every day, standing in the truth of what He has for us, right? We don't have to go through life half prepared or holding up our pants because we can't get around. He's equipped us. We have to grab it. We have to put it on. That bulletproof vest doesn't do that police officer any good if he leaves it in his squad car or leaves it next to his bed. You gotta put it on. We need to put it on, and we need to be equipped. So that's my prayer. Lord, I just thank You for this day, Lord God. I thank You for the message that went forth here, Lord God, and I ask that You just use it to equip us and just to strengthen our walk in You, Lord God, that we would grow in the understanding of who You are and what You are and who You are to us, Lord God. We just invite You into our lives, Lord God, and we just give You all the thanks and just all the glory, Lord God, for the sacrifice that You would make for us, Lord, for our redemption, Lord God. And I just give You all the thanks and the praise and the glory and honor here today, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, don't go away without prayer. I said on Wednesday, if you don't want prayer but you need prayer, still come up. Some people need prayer and don't want it, but I'm telling you, come on up anyway. So don't go away today without getting what you might need. Have a good week, church. Bless you.